Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. No, 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 no. That's what I'd like to speak about. I'm serious. No, 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 no. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Miles? I mean this. We have no priest but Christ. We have no sacrifice but Calvary. We have no confessional but the throne of grace. We have no authority but the Word of God. When I discovered these four headings that were sent to me by a dear friend, Andrew Wilson, up there in County Derry, County Londonderry, and they were discovered and shown to him by a man who found them in a barn, and they were beautifully artistically laid out. And I got inspired to write a mini book, small book, booklet maybe you would call it, which I simply called No, 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 No. And this podcast and next week's podcast will be based upon that. So let's look at the first no. No priest, but Christ. Hebrews 7:25. Talking about Jesus, it says, wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. A man in southern India once asked a missionary to make him a promise, explained how that every day he prayed for his own soul, and asked the missionary if when he, the Indian, died, the missionary would continue this practice for him. And when the missionary asked, well, why he would need to do that, the man replied, well, he was full of doubts and full of anxiety. And he thought that if this missionary would just pray for him every day, then surely God would let him into heaven and forgive his sins. Oh boy, was he ever on the wrong path. That's woeful. Now, this poor man rightly felt he needed someone to intercede for him. He needed a go-between. Have you ever felt that? The sad part is that he didn't know where to find one. He needed a priest. He needed an intercessor. But the only mediator who's effective in this matter of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, God in human flesh. And he alone can bring us to the Father and the Father to us. And relying for eternal life on anyone other than the true priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to fail to grasp the good news, the gospel, and to it's enough to ensure eternal ruin for yourself. Not believing, not trusting in Christ. And the poor dear Indian man held a strange belief. It was an unbelief. It's sad to say that there are many looking to multiplied mediators in this day and age, but not looking to Jesus. I once attended a funeral of a dear old aged Roman Catholic lady, and during the funeral service, all kinds of mediators were presented to the Father for his consideration. God was asked to remember the good works of this deceased person. Well, there's a mediator, good works. That's one mediator. And then the deceased holy saints were called upon to add their intercession. Gosh, that was a whole host more mediators. And then finally, the Virgin Mary was asked for her prayers and her intercession. My goodness. These dear people did not seem to realize that there's no mediator but one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ is qualified to bring us to glory. Only Christ is powerful enough to bring us to glory. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. And there's no hope of salvation without a proper priest. Let me say that again. There's no hope of salvation without a proper priest. And the proper priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. What can we tell about him? Well, we can tell that he's the one true priest that we need, and he died for us. But a dead priest is of no use to anyone, and that's why Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive and now ever lives to apply the entire benefits of his finished work to us. Check it out, Hebrews 7:25. That's why so many religious people have no assurance of salvation. They are looking to a sinful, sacrificing priest to get them into heaven. These dear ones cannot say with any confidence, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Christ died for me. He cleansed my sins. He took them away. He was buried. He rose from the dead for me. He is my priest. He is my righteousness, and I will be with him forever." Can you say that? Can you? Quietly ask yourself, can you say that? Charles Spurgeon, I love to quote from him, he was a great English preacher of another generation. He said, "Hands off, you priests! You are too feeble for such weights as ours. Our sins are too stupendous for your puny strength. But the Lord comes with his own right hand of majesty and puts away our sins and lifts them onto Christ. And Christ comes and flings them into his tomb, and they are gone and buried forever." Oh boy, I wish I could have heard him preach. Some say that present day priests are substitutes for Christ. Boy, that's an awful attack on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why? Well, it's simple. Jesus needs no substitute. We need no other priest to represent us before God than the Lord Jesus. There are no special religious orders of men or women in any land who can present us to the Father. We have but one priest, and he lives forever. And if any man calls himself a priest other than in the sense that all redeemed are non-mediatorial priests, but if any man calls himself, goes around and calls himself a priest, he's taking too much honor upon himself. He's no mediator of salvation. Salvation has already been mediated by the one great priest. That man who's imposing himself as a priest, he's an intruder. He claims a priesthood which does not belong to him. Jesus said, listen to this, Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's a quotation from Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Christ never said and will never say to the sinner, "Go to the priest and he will give you rest." But he has said, "Come unto me. I will give you rest." I don't know who wrote the following verse, but it's wonderful. "No other priest on earth I need, no other priest in heaven to plead. His wounded head and feet and side exclude all need of priests beside. Thus I enjoy through him alone sweet fellowship with yonder throne." The next thing I want us to consider is there is no sacrifice but Calvary. Listen to Hebrews 9:26, if you would. "Now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." I'll read that again, Hebrews 9:26. "Now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Well, what Christ purposed to do on the cross, he did. He put away sin. In other words, he annulled sin. He cancelled it. What other sacrifice offered by any supposed priest could do that? Since Christ has already put away sin in his one final sacrifice at the cross, what need is there for a presumed priest to supposedly take away sin every time he says a mass? It's a redundant act. Our priest, the Lord Jesus, has done his work once. That's what it said. Now, once in the end of the world. Once. In the Greek, That word is hapax. Literally, it means once for all time. And Christ has done his work once, his work of salvation once for all time. There is now, therefore, no additional sacrifice needed for sins. Christ has once put sin away by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, there is no sacrifice but Calvary. Now, one of the great reasons why Christ came was to put away the sins of his people. He didn't leave things to chance in the hope that a few sins would be put away and somebody would perhaps be saved. No. What he came to accomplish, he accomplished. And that's why he boldly declared from the cross, "It is finished." John 19:30. It is finished. I'm not finished, but my work of redemption is finished. No part of his assigned work was left undone. At the cross, he sacrificed himself for his people. He bought and paid for us with his blood. By the sacrifice of himself, he put away sin. So let's say it again. There is now no further sacrifice needed to put away sin. That's music. Oh, there is now no further sacrifice needed to put away sin. No amount of beating ourselves with guilt is needed. He has put away the sin of his people forever. How'd you become one of his people? Believe on him, trust in him, rest on him. Let me urge you to do that. His sacrifice at Calvary did not merely help us put away sin. His sacrifice put away our entire catalog of sin once and for all time. As Spurgeon said, there was one death, one sacrifice, one atonement, and all the work of man's redemption was forever accomplished, so that we can sing, "Love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle won." Christ's amazing sacrifice is rooted in the doctrine of his deity. He was able to put away our sin because he was the God-man. If he had merely been a sinless man, and not God manifest in the flesh, he could not have made an effective sacrifice. He could not have accomplished our redemption. In God's eyes, no mere human could pay the penalty of sin. One man paying for all the sins, for the multiplied trillions of sins. Oh, no mere human could pay the penalty for the sins of a seemingly uncountable number of people. However, all objections to the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ disappear before the majestic identity of the God-man. Hey, God could put away those sins. So he became a man, and as a man put away those sins and gave his divine authority and power to that. Because of the Lord Jesus, no other sacrifice is needed. He's remarkable. Go on, say that to yourself about Jesus. He's remarkable. Can you say that? Like, it's beyond me to understand why our dear friends, the Roman Catholics, allow their priests to continually offer up Christ as a bloodless sacrifice. That's what the Mass, they say, is a bloodless sacrifice. But Christ's sacrifice at Calvary requires neither renewal or repetition. I don't understand why they do that. I challenged the dear Roman Catholic friend who read his Bible, but I said, "Do you believe the Bible?" "Yes," he says. "Well, why don't you believe it is finished? Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep offering up Christ for your sins?" Well, he couldn't answer that. He couldn't answer that. Oh, may all God's people, the Lord's people, come to realize that our exhausting striving to become right with God is unnecessary. Redemption has already been accomplished. By faith, we receive it. There's no more need to whip ourselves into frenzied attempts to keep God's law. so that we might gain acceptance with the Almighty. The sacrifice for sins has been completed by Christ, and we receive its benefits. How do we receive them? By faith alone. Again, Spurgeon has some stern yet wise words on this matter. He says, "Our Lord has once for all made an atonement, and all attempts to tamper with his finished work is treason. Such as shall be answered for in the court of heaven." Well, that's worth thinking about. Old Matthew Henry wrote this: "Come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are your healing, his agonies your rest, his conflicts your conquests, his groans your songs, his pain your ease, his shame your glory, his death your life, his sufferings your salvation." Many years ago, I read a book, and in it there was a story of a monk who, as he was dying, put away the priest and the crucifix and all the other religious trappings, and he cried, "Tua vulnera Jesu, tua vulnera Jesu." Now, that translated means, "Thy wounds, Jesus, thy wounds, Jesus." What the monk had seen was that Christ was the only sure foundation for eternal life. Only the blood of Jesus, shed at the cross 2,000 years ago, can wash away our sins. Sin cannot be cleansed by sacrificial wine, sacramental wine. Nor can sin be cleansed and purged by what we do. Salvation is only by what Christ has done. Did you hear that? Salvation is only by what Christ has done. At the cross, our sin was put away. Hey, there was no sacrifice but Calvary. There's no priest but Jesus. We're going to continue this next time, God willing, and speak concerning there's no confessional but the throne of grace. There's no authority but the word of God. And the whole thing has been made into a small book, a mini book. You can get it on Amazon. A brother just the other day who's doing outreach to Roman Catholics, he got 50 of them. Yeah, another brother, he gets another number. They're people who are interested in evangelizing their friends who are Roman Catholic. Hey, I'll leave that with you and just say, may the Lord bless you. Yes, because of Jesus. We are blessed in Jesus. If you want to talk to me about spiritual things, about the gospel, love to hear from you. You can get me at miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Check out our website. Lots of material on there. www.milesmckee.com. And we have a Facebook page simply called Gospel Truth! Exclamation mark. And I don't think Facebook allows us to show how many people have joined, because we get quite a few nearly every day, but they don't register them. But however, we are continuing to proclaim short little gospel insights and truth, and a lot of people signing in and posting. So we invite you to do that. And listen, till next time, may the God of all grace let you know his splendor and majesty. Yes, and that's the gospel truth. Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth podcast. No, 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 no. That's what I'd like to speak about. I'm serious. No, 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 no. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Miles? I mean this. We have no priest but Christ. We have no sacrifice but Calvary. We have no confessional but the throne of grace. We have no authority but the word of God. When I discovered these four headings that were sent to me by a dear friend, Andrew Wilson, up there in County Derry, County Londonderry, and they were discovered and shown to him by a man who found them in a barn, and they were beautifully artistically laid out. And I got inspired to write a mini book, small book, booklet maybe you would call it, which I simply called No, 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 No. And this podcast and next week's podcast will be based upon that. So let's look at the first no. No, priest, but Christ. Hebrews 7:25. Talking about Jesus, it says, wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. A man in southern India once asked a missionary to make him a promise. Explained how that every day he prayed for his own soul and asked the missionary if when he, the Indian, died, the missionary would continue this practice for him. And when the missionary asked, well, why he would need to do that, the man replied, well, he was full of doubts and full of anxiety. And he thought that if this missionary would just pray for him every day, then surely God would let him into heaven and forgive his sins. Oh boy, was he ever on the wrong path. That's woeful. Now, this poor man rightly felt he needed someone to intercede for him. He needed a go-between. Have you ever felt that? The sad part is that he didn't know where to find one. He needed a priest. He needed an intercessor. But the only mediator who's effective in this matter of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, God in human flesh. And he alone can bring us to the Father and the Father to us. And relying for eternal life on anyone other than the true priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to fail to grasp the good news, the gospel, and to it's enough to ensure eternal ruin for yourself. Not believing, not trusting in Christ. And the poor dear Indian man held a strange belief. It was an unbelief. It's sad to say that there are many looking to multiplied mediators in this day and age, but not looking to Jesus. I once attended a funeral of a dear old aged Roman Catholic lady, and during the funeral service, all kinds of mediators were presented to the Father for his consideration. God was asked to remember the good works of this deceased person. Well, there's a mediator, good works. That's one mediator. And then the deceased holy saints were called upon to add their intercession. Gosh, that was a whole host more mediators. And then finally, the Virgin Mary was asked for her prayers and her intercession. My goodness. These dear people did not seem to realize that there's no mediator but one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ is qualified to bring us to glory. Only Christ is powerful enough to bring us to glory. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. And there's no hope of salvation without a proper priest. Let me say that again. There's no hope of salvation without a proper priest. And the proper priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. What can we tell about him? Well, we can tell that he's the one true priest that we need, and he died for us. But a dead priest is of no use to anyone. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead. And he's alive and now ever lives to apply the entire benefits of his finished work to us. Check it out, Hebrews 7:25. That's why so many religious people have no assurance of salvation. They are looking to a sinful, sacrificing priest to get them into heaven. These dear ones cannot say with any confidence, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Christ died for me. He cleansed my sins. He took them away. He was buried. He rose from the dead for me. He is my priest. He is my righteousness, and I will be with him forever." Can you say that? Can you? Quietly ask yourself, can you say that? Charles Spurgeon, I love to quote from him, he was a great English preacher of another generation. He said, "Hands off, you priests! You are too feeble for such weights as ours. Our sins are too stupendous for your puny strength. But the Lord comes with his own right hand of majesty and puts away our sins and lifts them onto Christ. And Christ comes and flings them into his tomb, and they are gone and buried forever." Oh boy, I wish I could have heard him preach. Some say that present-day priests are substitutes for Christ. Boy, that's an awful attack on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why? Well, it's simple. Jesus needs no substitute. We need no other priest to represent us before God than the Lord Jesus. There are no special religious orders of men or women in any land who can present us to the Father. We have but one priest, and he lives forever. And if any man calls himself a priest other than in the sense that all redeemed are non-mediatorial priests, but if any man calls himself, goes around and calls himself a priest, he's taking too much honor upon himself. He's no mediator of salvation. Salvation has already been mediated by the one great priest. That man who's imposing himself as a priest, he's an intruder. He claims a priesthood which does not belong to him. Jesus said, listen to this, Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's a quotation from Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Christ never said and will never say to the sinner, "Go to the priest and he will give you rest." But he has said, "Come unto me. I will give you rest." I don't know who wrote the following verse, but it's wonderful. "No other priest on earth I need, no other priest in heaven to plead. His wounded head and feet and side exclude all need of priests beside. Thus I enjoy through him alone sweet fellowship with yonder throne." The next thing I want us to consider is there is no sacrifice but Calvary. Listen to Hebrews 9:26, if you would. "Now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." I'll read that again, Hebrews 9:26. "Now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Wow. What Christ purposed to do on the cross, he did. He put away sin. In other words, he annulled sin. He cancelled it. What other sacrifice offered by any supposed priest could do that? Since Christ has already put away sin in his one final sacrifice at the cross, what need is there for a presumed priest to supposedly take away sin every time he says a mass? It's a redundant act. Our priest, the Lord Jesus, has done his work once. That's what it said. Now, once in the end of the world. Once. In the Greek, that word is hapax. Literally, it means once for all time. And Christ has done his work once, his work of salvation once for all time. There is now, therefore, no additional sacrifice needed for sins. Christ has once put sin away by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, there is no sacrifice but Calvary. Now, one of the great reasons why Christ came was to put away the sins of his people. He didn't leave things to chance in the hope that a few sins would be put away and somebody would perhaps be saved. No, what he came to accomplish, he accomplished. And that's why he boldly declared from the cross, "It is finished." John 19:30. It is finished. I'm not finished, but my work of redemption is finished. No part of his assigned work was left undone. At the cross, he sacrificed himself for his people. He bought and paid for us with his blood. By the sacrifice of himself, he put away sin. So let's say it again. There is now no further sacrifice needed to put away sin. That's music. Oh, there is now no further sacrifice needed to put away sin. No amount of beating ourselves with guilt is needed. He has put away the sin of his people forever. How'd you become one of his people? Believe on him, trust in him, rest on him. Let me urge you to do that. His sacrifice at Calvary did not merely help us put away sin. His sacrifice put away our entire catalog of sin once and for all time. As Spurgeon said, there was one death, one sacrifice, one atonement, and all the work of man's redemption was forever accomplished, so that we can sing, "Love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle one." Christ's amazing sacrifice is rooted in the doctrine of his deity. He was able to put away our sin because he was the God-man. If he had merely been a sinless man, and not God manifest in the flesh, he could not have made an effective sacrifice. He could not have accomplished our redemption. In God's eyes, no mere human could pay the penalty of sin. One man paying for all the sins, for the multiplied trillions of sins. Oh, no mere human could pay the penalty for the sins of a seemingly uncountable number of people. However, all objections to the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ disappear before the majestic identity of the God-man. Hey, God could put away those sins. So he became a man, and as a man put away those sins and gave his divine authority and power to that. Because of the Lord Jesus, no other sacrifice is needed. He's remarkable. Go on, say that to yourself about Jesus. He's remarkable. Can you say that? Like, it's beyond me to understand why our dear friends, the Roman Catholics, allow their priests to continually offer up Christ as a bloodless sacrifice. That's what the Mass, they say, is a bloodless sacrifice. But Christ's sacrifice at Calvary requires neither renewal or repetition. I don't understand why they do that. I challenge the dear Roman Catholic friend who read his Bible. But I said, "Do you believe the Bible?" "Yes." He says, "Well, why don't you believe it is finished? Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep offering up Christ for your sins?" Well, he couldn't answer that. He couldn't answer that. Oh, may all God's people, the Lord's people, come to realize that our exhausting striving to become right with God is unnecessary. Redemption has already been accomplished. By faith, we receive it. There's no more need to whip ourselves into frenzied attempts to keep God's law so that we might gain acceptance with the Almighty. The sacrifice for sins has been completed by Christ, and we receive its benefits. How do we receive them? By faith alone. Again, Spurgeon has some stern yet wise words on this matter. He says, "Our Lord has once for all made an atonement, and all attempts to tamper with his finished work is treason. Such as shall be answered for in the court of heaven. Wow, that's worth thinking about. Old Matthew Henry wrote this: "Come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are your healing, his agonies your rest, his conflicts your conquests, his groans your songs, his pain your ease, his shame your glory, his death your life, his sufferings your salvation." Many years ago, I read a book, and in it there was a story of a monk who, as he was dying, put away the priest and the crucifix and all the other religious trappings, and he cried, "Tua vulnera Jesu, tua vulnera Jesu." Now, that translated means, "Thy wounds, Jesus, thy wounds, Jesus." What the monk had seen was that Christ was the only sure foundation for eternal life. Only the blood of Jesus, shed at the cross 2,000 years ago, can wash away our sins. Sin cannot be cleansed by sacramental wine. Nor can sin be cleansed and purged by what we do. Salvation is only by what Christ has done. Did you hear that? Salvation is only by what Christ has done. At the cross, our sin was put away. Hey, there was no sacrifice but Calvary. There's no priest but Jesus. We're going to continue this next time, God willing, and speak concerning there's no confessional but the throne of grace. There's no authority but the word of God. And the whole thing has been made into a small book, a mini book. You can get it on Amazon. A brother just the other day who's doing outreach to Roman Catholics, he got 50 of them. Yeah, another brother, he gets another number. They're people who are interested in evangelizing their friends who are Roman Catholic. Hey, I'll leave that with you and just say, may the Lord bless you. Yes, because of Jesus. We are blessed in Jesus. If you want to talk to me about spiritual things, about the gospel, love to hear from you. You can get me at miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. Check out our website. Lots of material on there. www.milesmckee.com. And we have a Facebook page simply called Gospel Truth! Exclamation mark. And I don't think Facebook allows us to show how many people have joined, because we get quite a few nearly every day, but they don't register them. But however, we are continuing to proclaim short little gospel insights and truth, and a lot of people signing in and posting. So we invite you to do that. And listen, till next time, may the God of all grace let you know his splendor and majesty. Yes, and that's the gospel truth.